stay safe out there. But are you guys done with the semester? How many of you guys are done?
Yeah.
Woo! Oh, I see some hands aren't up. Who's still in finals?
Tomorrow.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But hang in there. You got a few weeks left, and then you'll be on vacation enjoying the summer heat. But today we're gonna continue with our series in the book of Colossians. And I know last week Rob went through the first 8 verses or so of the book of Colossians. And to summarize what he talked about, he really talked about a supreme hope, right? A supreme hope in heaven, but also a supreme faith from that hope. Supreme faith in God and what he can do with our lives. And to kind of give a little background on the book of Colossians, right? It's a book written by Paul and maybe Timothy, right? To the church in Colossae, right? And that's why it's called Colossians. But there's something that Paul noticed in this church and that he heard about. And he heard about their faith and their love for each other, right? And we want to be known for that too, right? Our faith and our love for each other. And so it's important that we look through this and see, okay, this church had something going on that we can have going on too, right? And we're going to continue with that. So I'm actually going to start reading in Colossians chapter 1 if you guys want to turn there. But Colossians chapter 1, starting verse 9. So continuing from what we talked about last week, Paul says, for this reason being their faith and the love that he noticed, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and praise him in every single way, bearing fruit and good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We'll stop there. But wow, this is powerful, right? Paul's saying some great things here. He's commending them, but he's also like, wait, those things are great, right? The faith and love are great, but do you know the will of God? We're praying for you to know the will of God so that you can live a life worthy of the Lord. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Guide to a worthy life and what that even means. You guys ready to hear more about that?
Yes.
Let's do it. Let's do it. But a worthy life, we heard that in this scripture here. And it's important to see, okay, so they're praying for this church. What are they praying for? They're praying for them to know the will of God, right? So that they can become worthy and to live a worthy life for the Lord. And then what will happen if they live a worthy life, right? He goes through that. It says they'll bear fruit, right? That sounds great. They'll bear fruit. They'll gain knowledge. They'll be strengthened by God and have endurance and patience. Those are all great things. But another thing that is mentioned in the scripture is that also living a worthy life also means giving joyful thanks to God, right? It's not just the things you receive. It's like, okay, you have to give thanks to God, joyful thanks. And it's like, well, why? You know, all this stuff is, you know, all this stuff kind of takes work. This endurance, right? Being strengthened, right? To be strengthened, you got to work out, right? You got to do some work. So this is all work. Why do we have to do all this? What's the point of living a worthy life? And Paul kind of explains that here, right? What our motivation should be. If you want to read that again, he says, he has qualified you to share in the inheritance, right, of his holy people in the kingdom of light, right? That's the God we serve. He qualifies us. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, right? So we're saved from darkness because of God. And he brought us into the kingdom, right? The kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. That's deep, right? And to redeem, I have some definitions here. So I have 2 points for you guys today. My first point is supreme redemption. And what does it mean to be redeemed? Redemption, I have some definitions here, but redemption, the first definition is that the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. And then the biblical definition is the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. And so God has done that for us. He's done both of those things. And when I think of rescue, I can't help but think of my little cousin. I remember we were on vacation in Florida, and we were at this resort, and she didn't know how to swim. I don't know how to swim either, but I'm taller than her. So, but she's standing by the pool, right? And I know she doesn't know how to swim. I'm kind of a little far off. And she falls in. She falls into the pool. It's like 5.5 feet. But we're young at the time. She's too short for 5.5 feet. So I know that, you know, she's gonna drown if I don't jump in there. And gut reaction, I dive in, my phone and everything. Phone, wallet, everything. I dive in, I grab her, I bring her to the edge of the pool. And I don't know, it was just a gut reaction. I didn't want to lose my phone, but I put it in rice, it didn't work. But it had to happen, you know. I'd rather save her than my phone, you know what I mean? But priorities. And I'd rather save my cousin than my phone. But as great as I am, Jesus did way more than me, right? Jesus did way more than me, right? He lived on earth. He came down to earth for you guys, for me too. He came down to earth, lived a sinless life, right, and died for your sins when he didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve it at all, right? He lost more than his phone. You know what I mean? He lost way more than his phone. So we need to be people that remember that sacrifice, that redemption that Jesus brings. Because if we don't, what's our motivation? Right? What is our motivation? Because we can be motivated by a lot of other things. Right? And Paul commends these people on their faith and love for each other. Right? They had things already. They had faith. They had love for each other. But he's like, wait. Are you connected with this redemption? Do you know and remember what Jesus has done for you? Right? And so we need to do the same. Amen. We're not living to earn. Right? We can't really earn salvation. Right? Jesus paid the price already because we can't earn it. We're not living to be earned or qualified or approved, but we're living in response to what Jesus did and all God has done for us. And we need to live up to that, right? We need to live up to what God has already done for us. And that's why we are aiming to live a life worthy of him. Amen?
Amen.
And that leads us to my second point for today. A supreme redemption should lead to a supreme response. A supreme response. So what does it even look like to live a worthy life? I'm going to go back to the scripture here. But in verse 9, Paul says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. So again here, reiterating this, Paul is praying that they know God's will. All right, keep that in mind. But I'm going to go to this next slide. This is my favorite slide right here. So I have a beautiful girlfriend. Her name is Julia. I don't know if you guys have met her or know anything about this, but she's like all over my Instagram. So if you live under a rock, I guess you don't know. But no, this is my beautiful girlfriend, and these pictures were taken at her birthday party that I helped to plan. All right. It was me and Gigi. We helped to plan this birthday party. And there was a lot of planning involved with this. I had to somehow get this flower shop, right? I found a way to rent out a flower shop for free. I rented out this flower shop for free. And then we set it up like a dinner party. And then I brought in a stovetop so that we could cook cake barbecue within the shop. So I did all this, planned all this stuff. But wouldn't it be hard to plan this if I didn't know what she liked? Right? If I didn't know what Julia liked, wouldn't this have been way harder to plan? You know? Like, what if she didn't like this vibe? What if she just wanted like a bowling party or something? Then I'd be, you know, it would be bad, right? But I plan this based on what she likes, right? And what, you know, what she enjoys. And so it's the same with God. Do you guys know what pleases God? Do you really know what pleases God? Or are you just guessing, right? What if I just guessed what Julia liked and was like, okay, and I'll plan something. I hope she'll enjoy it. No, you gotta know. Right? Especially with God. You gotta know what pleases God. And part of that is reading his word. Right? He tells you what pleases him. Right? He tells you what you need to do to live a worthy life. And it's more than just reading it. Right? Reading it is, I mean, it's great. It's so that you can know that and have that knowledge, but it's another thing to go out and do it. Right? Go out and respond to it. Respond to what you read instead of just, you know, just holding it in, right? And so this is my second point for today, and I'll read this again because it's super important, and Paul, you know, Paul knows this, that he needs to nail this in with everyone. But he says, we continually ask God, right? It's a continuous thing. Continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives. Right, and so what does it even look like to know God's willing to do it? Right, it's bearing fruit in every good work. Right, that's what we read. And what are good works? What are some good works you guys know of? You guys want to raise your hand. What are just some good works you could do? Yeah, serving people, right, in any capacity. Right, what are some other ways you can serve, or what are some other good works that you guys know of? What is it? Encouraging people, right? Buying them food or serving the poor, right? These are all good works that we could be doing and a lifestyle that we could have to really live a worthy life, right? Another thing that Paul mentions is growing in the knowledge of God, right? Growing closer to God in different ways. Maybe that's reading a new spiritual book or listening to a podcast or maybe even reading the Bible all the way through in a year. That could help you with knowledge. Right? And another thing Paul mentions is being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have endurance and patience. Right? So he's encouraging them, don't give up. I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be really hard to try to live this worthy life, but don't give up. God's going to give you everything you need. God's going to give you that endurance and that patience. And then finally, he says, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. And right now, we're going to have an opportunity to really give thanks to God, and this is going to lead us right into communion. So raise your hand if you don't have a communion cup, and we'll pass those around. But this is going to lead us right into communion, and what we're going to do something a little different today, is we're going to break up into small groups to do communion today. And first, we're going to have some discussion questions, and then after you guys reflect on those questions, you guys can take communion together, one of you can pray. And then you'll take communion together. Does that sound good to you guys? Sweet. So I'm going to read these discussion questions, and then I'll pray for the communion, and you guys can break up into discussion questions. Sound good? But the first question is, how is your gratitude toward Jesus? Does his love really compel you? Right? Are you focusing on Jesus' love? Does that really compel you? And then the second question is, what is one way you want to grow in pleasing God? And how will you do that? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and pray for the communion, and then you guys can break up into discussion groups.